glory. I'm so glad that you are here this morning, and I'm so glad that those that are watching, I know that you know this, but I will just repeat it because it's a joy. There are usually, as far as I know, that there's at least there's far more opportunity for people to be watching us out there than there is in here, far more. And a lot of times that's the case. We'll have sometimes hundreds of views. I can't say how long that they stay on, but I can't imagine if you ever tuned into this, you'd tune out. Amen? My God. I mean, if I see 200, 300 views there, I'm thinking they must have watched the service. Yeah, I mean, otherwise, something's wrong. This past Friday, there was the annual Pro-Life March for Life in Washington, D.C. I have been not a part of that, but I have been a part of a gathering in Washington that was astronomical. Years ago in 1997, October. Two things happened in October of 97. It was a pretty amazing year for me. March of 97 is when I first went to Tulsa. October of 97, I also went to Tulsa, and that was my second trip, but also I went with a number of men from here and from another church in Fort Myers to the Promise Keepers Million Man March. It was incredible. Some of the guys, just maybe a few, I don't know if there's more than Homer and I in here this morning that went, but it was incredible. It was really, really something to behold. We pulled into the Pentagon parking lot at 3 o'clock in the morning, and we hiked over because you couldn't get any closer to the mall. And the first place, of course, was the Lincoln Memorial, and then we went to the Washington Monument, and we went right up close to the stage. There was a few thousand people there gathering that morning. During the night, we're getting there at 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, and because the next morning this is going to start. When we just had to lay down on the ground and the dew covered us, because that's the only place to get. And talk. We just talked, mainly stayed up. When we turned around as the sun's coming up, there's a million plus people. Men. I don't know if you've ever seen a million people at one gathering or not, but it's a mass. I've seen now over, it was a million plus, I believe. There was not thousands and not hundreds of thousands. There was a million plus men for that mile long, and then they had big teletrons up where you could watch, but we were actually right up stage front so we could watch what was going on. This past Friday, I don't know the total number of people that actually marched. That's irrelevant to what we want to talk about this morning or what we want to view. What did happen was the 45th annual March for Life, which is the Pro-Life March. Amen. We're getting that from one of our pastors. Glory to God. So if you were working Friday and are gone like me, you probably missed one of the most amazing things that's happened in 45 years of this Pro-Life. And this morning it's about a 13, 14 minute excerpt from that. We're going to show that to you, and it may take just a moment, but settle in, and we want you to watch this, please.
Welcome back to Washington, D.C., and welcome back to the largest pro-life gathering in the United States of America, the 45th annual March for Life. More than 240 years ago, our founders wrote words that have echoed through the ages. They declared these truths to be self-evident, that we are, each of us, endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. 45 years ago, the Supreme Court of the United States turned its back on the unalienable right to life. But in that moment, our movement began. A movement that continues to win hearts and minds. A movement defined by generosity, compassion, and love. And a movement that 1 year ago tomorrow inaugurated the most pro-life president in American history, President Donald Trump. From preventing taxpayer dollars from funding abortion overseas to empowering states to respect life in Title X, to nominating judges who will uphold our God-given liberties enshrined in the Constitution of the United States, this president has been a tireless defender of life and conscience in America. And today, President Trump will do even more to defend the most vulnerable in our society. My friends, life is winning in America because love saves lives. And know as you march for life that your compassion, your persistence, your activism, and your prayers are saving lives. And this pro-life generation should never doubt we are with you. This president stands with you. And he who said, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you," is with you as well. And I believe with all of my heart, with your continued dedication and compassion, with pro-life majorities in the Congress, with President Donald Trump in this White House, and with God's help, we will restore the sanctity of life to the center of American law. And so, with a grateful heart, on this 45th annual March for Life, it is now my high honor and distinct privilege to introduce to you the 45th President of the United States of America, President Donald Trump.
Thank you very much. That's so nice. Sit, please. We have tens of thousands of people watching us right down the road. Tens of thousands. So I congratulate you. And at least we picked a beautiful day. You can't get a more beautiful day. I want to thank our Vice President, Mike Pence, for that wonderful introduction. I also want to thank you and Karen for being true champions for life. Thank you. And thank Karen. Today, I'm honored and really proud to be the first president to stand with you here at the White House to address the 45th March. Very special. 45th March for Life. And this is a truly remarkable group. Today, tens of thousands of families, students, and patriots, and really just great citizens gather here in our nation's capital. You come from many backgrounds, many places, but you all come for one beautiful cause: to build a society where life is celebrated, protected, and cherished. The March for Life is a movement born out of love. You love your families, you love your neighbors, you love our nation, and you love every child, born and unborn, because you believe that every life is sacred, that every child is a precious gift from God. We know that life is the greatest miracle of all. We see it in the eyes of every new mother who cradles that wonderful, innocent, and glorious newborn child in her loving arms. I want to thank every person here today and all across our country who works with such big hearts and tireless devotion to make sure that parents have the care and support they need to choose life. Because of you, tens of thousands of Americans have been born and reached their full God-given potential. Because of you. You're living witnesses of this year's March for Life theme, and that theme is love saves lives. As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life. Tomorrow will mark exactly 1 year since I took the oath of office. And I will say our country is doing really well. Our economy is perhaps the best it's ever been. You look at the job numbers, you look at the companies pouring back into our country, you look at the stock market at an all-time high, unemployment 17-year low, unemployment for African-American workers at the lowest mark in the history of our country, unemployment for Hispanic at a record low in history, unemployment for women, think of this, at an 18-year low. We're really proud of what we're doing. And during my first week in office, I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. On the National Day of Prayer, I signed an executive order to protect religious liberty. Very proud of that. Today, I'm announcing that we have just issued a new proposal to protect conscience rights and religious freedoms of doctors, nurses, and other medical professionals. So important. I have also just reversed the previous administration's policy that restricted states' efforts to direct Medicaid funding away from abortion facilities that violate the law. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. But this movement can only succeed with the heart and the soul and the prayer of the people. Here with us today is Mary Anna Donadio from Greensboro, North Carolina. Where is Mary Anna? Hello, come on up here, Mary Anna. Come. Nice to see you, Mary. Mary Anna was 17 when she found out she was pregnant. At first, she felt like she had no place to turn. But when she told her parents, they responded with total love, total affection, total support. Great parents? Great? I thought you were going to say that. I had to be careful. Mariana bravely chose life and soon gave birth to her son. She named him Benedict, which means blessing. Mariana was so grateful for her parents' love and support that she felt called to serve those who were not as fortunate as her. She joined with others in her community to start a maternity home to care for homeless women who were pregnant. It's great. They named it Room at the Inn. Today, Mariana and her husband, Don, are the parents of six beautiful children, and her eldest son, Benedict, and her daughter, Maria, join us here today. Where are they? Come on over. That's great. Over the last 15 years, Room at the Inn has provided housing, childcare, counseling, education, and job training to more than 400 women. Even more importantly, it has given them hope. It has shown each woman that she is not forgotten, that she is not alone, and she really now has a whole family of people who will help her succeed. That hope is the true gift of this incredible movement that brings us together today. It is the gift of friendship, the gift of mentorship, and the gift of encouragement, love, and support. Those are beautiful words, and those are beautiful gifts. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray, and that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God. Thank you to the March for Life, special, special people, and we are with you all the way. May God bless you, and may God bless America. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah, Jesus. I know that there are some Christians, and I'm not speaking specifically here, although it may be, and it may be some that are watching. And it may not be, but just in general, there are some Christians that would take some kind of exception with showing something like that in church. And my question is, why? Why? Why would anything, just even a thread inside of you, think that something like that should not be shown? It's political. That's not political. Everything that we heard just now is backed up by the Word of God. I could preach a sermon verse by verse on everything that was just said. I know that there's many, many churches that would say you'll exclude people. You'll alienate people. Folks, it's not my ambition to exclude or alienate, but I'm going to tell you this. We are not teaching an inclusion doctrine. The doctrine of Jesus Christ did not just include, it included everybody that wanted to come and change, but it was not an inclusive, like, come as you are and stay as you are. Yes, come as you are, but here's the door, Jesus Christ. We don't want to exclude any of the young ladies that have ever went through this. We love them. They are so precious. That's not our objective. But to have a president and a vice president that will stand up, I'm going to tell you this. I don't care if you voted for him or did not vote for him. I'm not verifying or certifying everything that my president says. But I'm not a hypocrite either. I prayed for President Barack Obama all the time. And we prayed for him in this church. I personally can tell you, I by law cannot tell you who to vote, but I can tell you who I voted for. And I definitely voted for the man that you just saw. And unless things change and he goes awry, I'll vote for him again. and I will privately try to get every... Why? Because whether or not he is, in your eyes, born again Christian or not, whether or not all the accolades of racism and all that stuff, and I'm not even going to try to defend all that. I'm just going to say this. God will stand with a man who stands with the unborn and is pro-life. He will stand with him. And I'm going to ask you to stand with me, all of us, please. And we're going to pray. I'm going to ask you to pray with me. I'm going to lead the prayer, but you pray and agree as you can. And anything that the Lord whispers, we're going to pray. The Word tells us to pray for our leaders. And as I said, I am not a hypocrite. We prayed for our last president often in this church. So we're going to pray for President Trump, Vice President Pence, because God only knows how much pressure they're under. God only knows. And we pray that God will help them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we, the Family Prayer Center, and those, our family members that are out there watching with us, I pray that they'll be praying in their homes, that we, as we pray this morning, Father, we lift up our Vice President and our President. Father, we pray that you will visit them. We pray that you will visit them every day of their life. That, Lord, that you will cause them to humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, that you may exalt them. We pray for our president that he will continually ask direction of you. That, Father, Lord, you know his spiritual condition. I'm asking that he'll know you in the fullness of salvation and even be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm asking that, Father, in the days ahead, that our vice president, Father, as he walks with you, that he will give instruction and he will give counsel to our president. And we pray that both of them together, Lord God, even though they are men and there's many shortcomings, we pray that in Jesus' name that you will empower them, that you will give them dreams, visions, insights, wisdom, that you'll place a scepter of righteousness in their hand. And Lord, though they are hated by many, they are loved by many as well for the purpose of the scepter of righteousness. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It does not bother me. I don't know if bother is the right word or not. It does not concern me that the world and those living in the world don't like something like this and hate something like this. That doesn't bother me. What is incredibly a concerning factor is when Christians... when Christians have an exception. And these guys that are on Facebook a lot and they manage it well, I understand from them that there's a lot. It amazes me there's a lot of Christians that would have a pushback on this speech that we just heard. And I, again, are you glad that we live in a place and we go to a church where we hear the truth?